Very warm welcome to everyone joining the online Dharma Hall today. Hope you're doing well. If you would like to, we can use the chat to say hello, announce your presence, make connections, and say where you are if you wish, how you are, your name, anything that feels could be helpful as we welcome ourselves and welcome each other into this space that we're sharing. And I'm calling in from a very sunny, quite warm little hut in Dorset. It's the southwest of the UK. And yeah, it's a real pleasure to be with you today. So we have this opportunity of time. We'll have a meditation shortly. And following from there, we'll have a reflection on the teachings, the practice that we're doing. And from there, we'll flow into a bit of time where we can have some sharings from you, some reflections on the reflections, or anything that's going on in your path and practice at this time that feels would be helpful to bring into the space. All very welcome. And then depending on time, if we have some time at the end, we can, for those who wish staying on, can divide into smaller groups and meet in twos, threes, fours, depending on the numbers that we have there. So as we gather and welcome ourselves to be here, we can have various views on the screen. If you like, there's a possibility to have the Sangha view, the gallery view, as it's called in Zoom. Yes, have a sense of seeing each other, feeling a sense of support and connection in this way. Occasionally, if you know someone's microphone or environment's a little bit loud, I might mute you. If you're wearing headphones or you're just not in a loud place, you know, you can feel free to be unmuted. It's fine for ambient noises, but I have the power to mute you, and I don't take that power lightly. I won't be just muting you for no reason, but if there's some kind of disturbing sound, just so it's a little bit more pleasant for others, I might do that every so often. Feel free to have your video on or off as you like, and also feel free not to look at the screen. You know, whatever's most relaxing for your eyes, whatever's most relaxing for your being at this time. It's nice to be able to see some people, but yeah, certainly it doesn't need to be everyone. And really happy for you to feel comfortable to be here and at ease in the online Dharma Hall. So we really want to sense that all of us are welcome, and that meaning, you know, every one of us is welcome, and also all of us is welcome. So whatever emotions, physical sensations, thoughts, feelings, whatever it is that makes up your sense of yourself or your companions that you come into the online Dharma Hall with, inner companions, outer companions, may we all feel welcome to be here, to come here. And in arriving, it might be helpful just to feel into what's our intention for this time. What is it we want to support? What is it we want to develop? What is it we want to allow to grow in the heart, in the mind, in the body, in the world? Just taking a moment to feel, what is it for today, for this moment, for this session? What would I be happy to see more of, feel more of, share more of? and as a support to ourselves and a support to others. It's an invitation here. Would you like to put that in the chat? Would you like to name it? No pressure, no need that you have to, but maybe it can be an inspiration for ourselves and support for others. Maybe also an inspiration for others. And I'll just name a few as they go through. And we had two groundednesses, sense of groundedness. Letting go of control. Sense of balance. To be in community. To be alongside. And perhaps you, like me, you have a very suggestible mind that even like saying these phrases, you kind of feel them come alive a little bit or come closer. And that can really be the power of our intentions, is that when we say peace, maybe there's a little more peace. Or lightness. Maybe actually in that word, or in that remembrance of the meaning of that word, something lifts. There is a little more lightness. And when we remember kindness, as someone's put here, is there the opportunity in this moment to meet kindness with kindness, meet the intention for kindness, meet this breath with kindness, this sound. And with that, very wisely, someone's written, to have confidence in the power of my intention. To back that intention, to support it, to really encourage it to come through. So that's an intention for wisdom, intention for non-judging, loving atmosphere. So whatever your intention is, can we hold that? Can we sustain it? Bring it into a meditation together. So we're going to flow from here into a meditation. And if it's okay, I'm going to combine those intentions with, you know, what we could say is, seems to be the core teaching of the Buddha, dukkha and the release of dukkha. Yeah, so all those intentions really resonate in that field. So the Buddha would teach, you know, you need to acknowledge that in life there is dukkha. Maybe in this moment there's a very subtle dukkha, subtle contraction of the being that maybe could open. There's a subtle rejection of how things are appearing perhaps, and we could actually welcome less dukkha in the relationship. Maybe there's a holding on to the transient experience of now, and we can let go. Let go in relation to things. Something peaceful, non-dukkha, something more peaceful could be here. So we're beginning just finding something that's present that we can connect with to ground ourselves in the present moment. So maybe it's the breath rising, falling, subtlety of the breath. Particularly if body doesn't feel like a nice place to rest the attention, it's too intense at this time, maybe listening to sounds arising, passing. Just choosing one of those would be best, you know, keep it simple, keep it intimate, keep it sensitive. maybe as we pay attention, see if we need to be more interested, if the mind is wandering away. Don't doubt that the breath or the sounds are interesting. Listen as vibrations, rippling waves of sensations passing through. I be with the whole of a breath, the whole of a sound, from its very beginnings to its ending. Maybe we can acknowledge that the mind will wander, the stories will appear, they will appear interesting. We may wander off into a story for a long time, but actually there's less dukkha, there's more enjoyment in body, heart, mind being connected, combined in a moment of listening to the present, unfolding experience. So without a sense of rejection, but more a sense of upgrading to something more peaceful, more enjoyable. This breath, this sound is more peaceful, has more kindness. That invitation to be present and also be your intention. gently coming into the present moment if we've wandered away. It may be helpful to notice if the body is tightened, tensed up in the practice or in the mind wandering. Maybe the face could relax a little bit. Maybe on the out-breath, releasing the forehead. Letting that relax. Maybe the next out-breath can almost flow through the eyes and around the eyes, softening. Sometimes we make too much effort. Maybe the hands, the arms, the shoulders can relax. The jawline could slacken a little bit. In its place, feeling a sense of brightening. We're not falling asleep, we're relaxing into wakefulness. Perhaps even the belly can kind of unravel. Expand the heart area, supported to feel as open as it wishes to. The felt sense of dukkha is a contracted, shrunken body, shrunken awareness. Maybe we can counter that just by inviting the awareness to open, maybe through the whole body or even around, including the back, above, below. And again, returning sensitive to breath, sensitive to sounds, but with a more open feeling of awareness, where that intention we wish for, that peacefulness, can flow in the way we meet our experience. Anytime we notice that the body is tightened, we can just invite again to relax. There's no rush, we don't need to get to relaxed quickly. Just slowly softening, enjoying the softening. Likewise, if awareness shrinks, again, just inviting it to expand, stretching it out behind, above, below, if that feels supportive. And then seeing if we can sustain relaxed, spacious, open attention as we pay attention to what's arising and passing in this present moment, the breath, the sounds, whatever it is. We'll notice the habit to contract. We can just invite that to open. Less dukkha, more open being. So relaxed. As much as we can be through the whole body, but also bright, present. And maybe it's not so much a sense of stretching out the awareness, but actually rather just not holding it back. So it's like we just allow it to expand. And then within this awareness, you'll notice nothing ever lasts. Nothing's worth grasping onto, pushing away, being reactive. Everything can be welcomed to arise and pass in this more spacious space. Still, maybe mainly resting with sounds or breath, sensations, but even the thoughts and feelings, just notice everything passes. Non-grasping, pushing away, not holding on. Noticing where the attention is right now. Having a sense that however it is right now, even if it feels very peaceful, it could be more peaceful. The way we relate, what we attend to, perhaps it could be more peaceful. Maybe that means more spacious in the awareness, more relaxed in the body. Maybe it's just in the atmosphere, the attitude of mind, letting go. Maybe letting go of even this appearance of this amount of peacefulness would be more peaceful. Wherever we end up, maybe there's always something a bit more peaceful and just inclining towards that. Just spend a minute together to close the meditation, maybe just feeling the qualities you've cultivated, sustaining those, enjoying those in a spacious, relatively peaceful way of being. Allowing the presence that you've cultivated to sustain across the threshold of the bell, the so-called end of the meditation. As you'll probably notice in your life, things can be called an end, but it's rather a fantasy. We create boundaries between things. So if you find yourself still meditating right now, yet your eyes are open, your body's moving, that's completely fine. So, be interesting to hear a little bit how that feels as a meditation. Basically, the idea behind it is to kind of reverse engineer the experience of dukkha and then try and extract the ingredients that are actually supporting it to feel that way. Say a little bit more about that in a moment, but first of all, I just want to, you know, really thank you for being here, because you being here is what actually creates the online Dharma Hall. It's your presence, and for many of you, it's your sustained presence, your continuity of showing up and creating this that allows this to be possible for anyone who might be coming in here for the first time today. And if you are coming for the first time, you're very, very welcome. And if you've been coming here many times or occasionally, you know, you're very, very welcome to be here. And I can say on behalf of Gaia House is very deeply touched that people are willing to come here and make this happen and support it. And so this is Gaia House's online Dharma Hall, so to speak, but it's also yours. Yeah, but in the way that it's from Gaia House and supported by Gaia House, we also have that opportunity to support it in financial terms with some dana. But obviously, that's held within the understanding that, you know, these are tough times for many, many people. These are uncertain times. Maybe there isn't any clear sign of when they will become less uncertain, a bit of a double negative. But you know, there probably will never be certain times, will there? But but you know, it can be a turbulent time, can be a difficult time, and it's certainly affecting some of the Sangha a lot more than others. And we want you to know that if you are deeply affected by this, then this is always welcome for you. It's freely offered. It's no price. There's no expectation. Yeah. But at the same time, it's welcomed that we can receive dana for this. And that's we, as in you can support Gaia House directly that way. And you can also support the teachers and facilitators who come and run sessions here. And it's just going to run on Dana. It's going to run on freely given, freely received, freely supported atmosphere. And the emphasis in all of those is the freely. Yeah, we want you to feel free to be here. We want you to feel happy to be here. We want you to feel supported in being here. And so if you're also able to support, then I'll put a couple of links in here, and you're very welcome to participate in that. And it's much more that sense of participation. Yeah, it's more a sense of participation than exchange. Well, we gave you something, are you going to give us something? No, so let's participate in creating this online Dharma hall together in whatever way we can. The second link in there, dependentorigination.org, is a website that I'm hosting, and well, I'm not hosting it actually, I'm coding it and running it. My friend is hosting it for me. That's a technical point. Don't worry about that. But you can visit that website. There's lots of resources there. And I upload talks there and write articles about this beautiful teaching of dependent origination, how things lean upon each other, and how we can affect that by leaning in different ways, what we can bring into being, like we were just doing in that meditation. For those who are interested, so this is a little bit, I'm talking, sharing, this is a practice that's. Then I'm going to give a reflection. It's kind of a bit me dominant. This evening, I actually co-creating another space called Shaping the World, where it's going to be much more dynamic, much more like a conversation, and it's an embodiment of the teachings. Now, can we embody these teachings while we talk about them and explore them and share our experiences and hear from others, listen well? You know, all of this kind of aspect. And if you're interested in that, then you should be able to find it from the homepage on that website, and if not, in the events page, and if not, find me the contact page, write to me, and I'll invite you in. Again, freely offered. And so I just wanted to share. That might be of interest to some of you, particularly if you want more chance to share your reflection, your understandings. So I don't know. I hope this next reflection will be relatively short, and then can kind of just introduce a conversation. The Buddha was famous for kind of saying, "I teach one thing, dukkha and the relief of dukkha," which kind of sound like two things, but it's just one thing. You know, we could just say, "I teach the relief of dukkha," and for that, you need to understand what dukkha is. So, what is dukkha, actually? What's the meaning of this dukkha? And so, some people quite commonly translate it as suffering. And that's useful, interesting, good. Ah, the relief of suffering. But there can be certain moments and even certain people who feel like, well, I'm actually not suffering, so this isn't relevant for me. We could put it the other way, that dukkha is any way in which we're not free. Free to live those, you know, beautiful intentions that we shared today. And we could say, you know, I had a day that didn't have so much kindness. I had a day that didn't have so much connectedness. Some of those will feel like suffering. Some of them won't. Some of them will feel stressful. So maybe dukkha is stressful. It's stress. And maybe even that's a bit too strong. You know? So maybe dukkha is any way in which we're not free. We're not fully, freely, to the maximum degree possible, expressing what we feel is of deepest value, deepest beauty, most liberating, most loving way of being. Yeah. And so, in the Four Noble Truths, many of you know this beautiful dance through a logical tree. The Buddha says, "Okay, we have to understand in life there is dukkha." And then the second point is, let's have a little investigation. What else is there when there's dukkha? And so the Buddha answers that rhetorical question as tanha, and some people translate that as craving, which is fine again, but again, it's not really a word we would use every day. When you have the wonderful opportunity to be a pregnant woman, then you get to have cravings, yeah? But most other people might not mention craving for a lot of the things that we actually. We feel that we have to get. The root of the word is a thirsting, But even that is kind of like dimensional. It's not multiple dimensions to that feeling of thirsting. What is it like to thirst after something? And what does it mean to stop thirsting after something? So we look at the meaning of dukkha very skillfully at times in the practice to reverse engineer. Okay, when there's dukkha, what else is there? Let's not take this rhetorical answer to this rhetorical question. Yeah, so a rhetoric, a style of asking questions in a kind of a dramatic way, in a sense, yeah. But as a real question, not a rhetorical question. Okay, when there's dukkha, what else is there? What else is there? And so I'm going to give a few of the answers that teachers have passed down to me. So the first thing is the felt sense. What's the felt sense of dukkha? Okay, in a shorthand, the felt sense of dukkha is contraction. Okay, we feel shrunken in the body. Someone's rude to me. Rah! Protection, armor. The armor doesn't fit for some reason. We have to get smaller to squeeze inside it. Take off the armor. So, oh, breathe again. Okay, reminding ourselves it's okay. It's okay not to be complimented. Oh yeah, it is okay not to be complimented. And take off the armor, expand, and then, or I notice the difference between when I feel at home, at peace among friends. I feel more open. Okay, so we could say shorthand, dukkha is contraction, freedom is open, more open, more open, and more open than that. It's a bit more free, and I might think, okay, well I'm open now, but that by reverse engineering it, we could say, what would it be like if I opened a bit more, spread a bit more, or didn't hold back so much? Yeah, and say, well, up to there is okay, but no more. What if I open more? Is it more free? Is there a freedom available there that I didn't notice? So I don't feel like I'm suffering now, but maybe I could open more. Okay, so that's one dimension we could say to it. And this relates to what we might call bodily fabrication, which includes the space I feel I'm in. Yeah. How relaxed the body is, but also the space I feel I'm in. And so the nature of awareness can become more spacious. So we need to kind of like just observe for a moment, what is the nature of our experience? I can have a feeling that I'm in here looking out at the world. But actually, the nature of awareness is all of this world. In awareness is, in some certain sense, within awareness, and awareness is within the mind. So this world I'm experiencing is vast, and when I tune into the vastness of my experience, the awareness in which everything's unfolding, perhaps that's a bit more spacious. But there still feels to be a boundary to that. It's interesting, isn't it? Still feels to be a boundary, like how far, how distant am I hearing? That's the size of my awareness. And maybe, again, okay, so it's nice to stretch it out. So the most distant sounds or the most large view, when you go to the beach, you feel good. Why? Maybe because the ocean is unobstructed, wide view, or like a hill above. It's lovely to be up here and see more. And I think part of that is our awareness then expands to that scope. But the question in the Dharma then is like, well, if we can expand that far, could we expand a little further? Would that be even more nice? If that much is nice, maybe more nice is nice too. So there's always this interest, look, a little bit more. Where's the place for metta in our practice? So we have this vast, spacious awareness, but what flavor does it have? And metta, this feeling of kindness, this feeling of welcoming, reduces the feelings of reactivity. Yeah. So very normally I pay attention to something because I kind of want something from it, what's in this for me? I'm going to pay attention to you, and hopefully I'm going to get something from it, or I'm going to pay attention to you because I'm actually working out how you came to be here and how I'm going to get rid of you so that I can feel more at ease. But all of those are dukkha ways of relating. So the question then is, well, oh, I relax that, I become more kind in relationship to that. But actually, even in that kindness, am I now relating to you with kindness because that feels good to me? Yeah. And so this kindness quality, still maybe it's got a little bit of deal making in it, or it's got some kind of, yeah, I'm going to be kind to you because that's what's good for me. And we can that extend that kindness. Is that, I'm going to be kind to you, and I don't even mind if that kindness goes into a little bit of, oh, it's a bit of a strain now. not too much of a strain, because that would be unkind to me also, or the felt sense of me. But that can that kindness really just flow more and more freely? So in each sense, we have a sense of where something can go up to, and the exploration then is there a way that that can expand? Can there be kindness that there's kindness? You know, that kindness meeting the kindness that's there. It's not my kindness. And I'm more or less just allowing a kind atmosphere to unfold. So dukkha is reactivity, it's scheming, it's planning, it's pushing, it's pulling. And metta is welcoming, supporting, allowing something to exist for itself. And maybe it's just an honor for me to get to know you. It's not good for me, you know, but it's an honor for me to get to know you. That kind of atmosphere of kindness. And then we can drop in this interesting insight, yeah, which is interesting because it can feel a little bit rejective, right? So we have to understand that when the Buddha was teaching dukkha, he was actually getting towards that third noble truth, nibbana or nirodha, the cessation of all dukkha, which is also a cessation of the world as we know it. Yeah, it's beautiful and as delightful and loving and lovely and peaceful and harmonious as experience can get. The Buddha was teaching about something that actually transcended all of those which have opposites. You know, lovely, not so lovely. Peaceful, not so peaceful. Something that actually transcended the dualities of a this and a thatness. Something very, very profound. And so we can offer in this insight, which is like, it's almost like it's not yet good enough. There's always just a little bit more, and that's not about things, and it's not about us. It's like, oh, there's me not being good enough again. Oh, there's things. I don't know, why do things even bother? They can't last, they can't bring lasting satisfaction. I don't know. I'm done with the world and push it aside. Maybe that's a skillful interpretation of the teaching, but I don't think it's quite there. Tanisaro Bhikkhu, Ajahn Jeff, shares quite a beautiful image that it's more like the artist's sense of it's not quite good enough, it's not quite finished. Maybe there's something that needs to be added here, a bit of colour in here, a bit of contrast, something that's actually going to brighten from this side to really expose and enliven the darkness on that side. Maybe there's, I need to shave off this little bit here on the sculpture, you know. And so there's this sense of not good enough in a sense of artfulness, a sense of playfulness. So in this moment, how is it then to drop in the senses that there's a more peaceful way of being possible, and this isn't it yet. This isn't it yet. That's not a complaint, it's not a criticism of us, it's actually an invitation. Be creative. Is there some way that I'm attending to my experience? Is it the particular thing that I'm focusing on? Am I getting a bit too obsessed about this and I just need to open out around it? Am I attending to the right thing? Am I attending in the right way? Because this isn't peaceful yet. And we know it's not peaceful yet because there's an appearance, and appearances are in a duality with non-appearance, and we're actually looking to open into something more. Yeah. So all of this is to say, in a sense, what is dukkha, but also what kind of meditator am I? What's my dukkha? What am I trying to support? Why are these particular intentions, like the intentions I shared in the beginning, why do they move me so much? And what happens when I bring them into alignment with the teachings, and we look at the experience of dukkha, what the Buddha wanted to teach, and we think, ah, maybe I'm an explorer. Maybe I'm an experimenter. Maybe I'm an artist. I'm really just embodying that spirit of who and how we feel we practice. And then say, and this too, yeah. This moment's not good enough, but as an artist, what do I want to draw into this moment? What do I want to shave off this moment to kind of create that art? You know, if I'm an experimenter, what do I want to sprinkle a little bit of flavor of into here? What do I want to extract away to get the kind of result I'm looking for here? Or if I'm an explorer, where is it that I wish to travel to? What space, what land, what environment, inner environment do I want to bring? And maybe we can use dukkha as a compass in that exploration. So that more or less explains what we were playing at in that meditation. And if you enjoyed the meditation, now you see the recipe list, the ingredients, and a little bit towards the directions. And yeah, happy to open the space if there are any reflections in relationship to that, anything you want clarified, anything you didn't agree with, everything's welcome. Or what do you do? How do you see yourself? What's your dukkha? What's your freedom? Hello there. Yeah, no, that's fine. So, let's see. So it feels like perhaps you were lost before the artist or only at the artist. Is that your feeling? Getting lost already. Okay. So we're dealing with like a subtle perception here. And maybe just to take a step back, when I'm talking about sharing metta with I'm really talking about to phenomena, to the appearance, to the sensations of this moment, not necessarily to other people. So typically, I could have made that more clear, because typically a lot of people think of metta practice is bring to mind a friend, then share phrases, and then maybe introduce someone who's a bit more neutral, and then share the same phrases, and keep expanding this feeling of metta. I was actually meaning metta more as like an atmosphere in what we pay attention to. So I hear your voice, oh, metta to that. You know, I see the screen, you know, it's kind of like metta in relationship to that. So we might refer then to metta as like a welcoming, spacious atmosphere. Then the next step was to drop in something that almost feels like the opposite of metta, which is to say this moment's not good enough. Yeah. And why I wanted, you know, why we want metta first is because we actually are saying that with a lot of metta, you know, it's like, oh, this isn't good enough. But we mean it like an artist looking at a creation that they're making. Yeah. So the artist has to look with these eyes. It's like, it's not there yet. It's not there yet. Because I have a sense there's something more. And in this sense, we're saying there's an absence of all dukkha. There's an absence of all dukkha, and this isn't it yet. This isn't peaceful. And in what way is it not peaceful? It's not peaceful because I'm holding on too much. Ah, let go. Let go in relationship to this. It's not there yet, maybe because my conception of what peaceful could be hasn't expanded enough. So we kind of expanded it earlier. It's like, oh, I feel spacious. Yeah, oh, great. Could you be more spacious? Be more of this. So the artist analogy kind of works well for that, because the artist should be mildly dissatisfied with what they're creating, and that encourages and supports them to go farther. Does that make sense? Great. Thank you. Hello. Yeah, makes perfect sense. Yeah. Thank you. So there's a few people with the raised hand. So maybe the first one to raise the hand would like to unmute, and just feel free to unmute in your turn. Thanks. Hello. Yeah, great. Yeah, that's lovely. So I'm like my standpoint is I'm in favor of all kinds of meditations, active, passive, you know, like bare mindfulness, just watching, the witnessing, all of that, and also let's extend this, let's play with this, let's open this. What I tend to teach is more the probably active and engaged insight, let's bring insights alive kind of mode. But I think we want to have all of the practices available to us, and sometimes, depending on the emotional state or the content of the heart and the mind, a major thing that's missing is acceptance. And that's the ingredient to add. So in a certain sense, adding acceptance to our experience isn't passive. It's radically active, right? Because that's the ingredient that we notice is missing. So in a sense, we'll keep adding acceptance, perhaps until there's enough, right? And then there's enough, and then what? What we'll probably notice is that many of the other things that we were just mentioning have started to happen. Maybe a sense of relaxation also starts to come through the body, because the body and the mind, they reflect each other. Maybe a sense of metta has started to flow through. It's like, oh, I can, because I've practiced so much acceptance and I'm feeling quite nice, there's a sense of kindness with the world. And a thought arises and I just smile. It's like, oh yeah. This thought that's arisen, it hasn't even apparently got much good intent. Maybe it's a thought like, there you are indulging yourself in the, you're just like, oh yeah, there I am. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's just a thought arising. So all of these practices, they're actually leading to the same thing. In a certain sense, I'm the kind of person that when I was told, pay attention to your breath, I went with it. I paid attention to my breath. I remember the time when one of the teachers said, paying attention to your breath, like paying attention to all of the breaths, that's not the goal here. That's not the goal of meditation. And that really kind of piqued my interest, because no one had said that before. But then it started me with this search, this kind of question, well, actually, why are we doing this? What's that useful for? What does it bring into being? And that seemed to kind of really please the heart and the mind that had kind of been left out of the game. It kind of felt like, mind, all you've got to do is shut up. Intellect, all you've got to do is shut up so that we can be with the breath more. And I realized, oh, there's this kind of subtle rejection of the heart and the mind, and that didn't feel peaceful. Actually didn't feel like it was transcending dukkha. And so whenever there's acceptance, there can also be this kind of subtle rejection game going on. And so I preferred to practice in a way that had a little bit more integrity, and you could even say intelligence, that was actually owning the fact that, okay, there's something I'm accepting, there's something I'm not accepting. And this is the way of existence, So this way that we're saying not yet good enough, you can feel like, oh, well, how does acceptance work with that? Well, acceptance is being brought in because we're already saying it's not quite good enough. We need more acceptance. And so you find yourself in this logical double bind. And if you are on anywhere on any spectrum of anything at any time, you might feel, ah, it feels a bit weird. And it felt a bit weird to me. So that's kind of my review of that. Does that relate to what you were questioning? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's very, very, very lovely reflection, and kind of expresses similar qualities to what I was just kind of talking about. It's like, yeah, if you pay close attention to the teachings, you'll notice these paradoxes. Yeah, that acceptance implies a sense of non-acceptance. It's like there's not enough acceptance, and what we're saying here is, if we're aiming towards something that we use this word as a stand in for non-dukkha, peacefulness, and we aim towards that, to some degree we have to intend that into being, we have to aim for that, we have to invite it to be here. And so I'm kind of using these words to show that there's actually there's a range of styles of wanting something. So say, for example, I want my friend to come to dinner. I have to invite them. I can't demand that they come to dinner. It's like, I've put a table and I've cooked a meal and you will be here at 7 o'clock, or I'm going to have to come around there and drag you over here. That's obviously not how it works in friendship. I just learned that. I don't know if anyone else didn't know that, but So what we have to do is invite. So we have to invite peacefulness. But interestingly, we can invite peacefulness in a very peaceful way. And so we have this paradoxical practice that we're doing that actually, yeah, I have an expectation that peacefulness will want to come. And luckily, it seems so far, peacefulness wants to come. And in that moment, because the human being has a certain interiority to it, we could say, yeah, so that all of the awareness that I'm aware of is shaped by the heart and mind, which is aware of it or has the awareness of it. Yeah, clumsiness of language aside, yeah, you kind of sense what I'm talking about. So in that moment, if I'm inviting peacefulness through an atmosphere that is peaceful, what do you think my experience becomes? It becomes peacefulness. So we have this kind of paradoxical thing, which is, yeah, there is something we want. There is something that we're saying it's not yet good enough. But it's not a rejection. It's actually, and this is what wishes to become. And so I'm going to support what I sense is the deepest thing that wishes to become. And as someone was saying earlier, I'm constantly being anonymous. I know who said what, and because I'm also recording locally so that we can share this. As we deepen, and as you'll know, as we deepen, we sense a subtler degree of like, oh, this isn't yet peaceful. This isn't yet peaceful. And maybe I don't know what to do with that yet, but I'll sit with it, stay with it, attend to it in as peaceful a way as I know how to, and perhaps that gets released. And then what's revealed then? Something deeper. And we could say, oh my God, is it endless? But what you might also notice is that, oh, each time, isn't that just a little bit nicer? Isn't that just a little bit nicer? The self's gone more quiet. Time has gone more quiet. Space has gone more quiet. So, wow, who would have thought all of this was in here, in this human being that so much of the time is fretting, is worrying, is stressed, is feeling not good enough? All of this in here. Dependent on the way of relating. Dependent on aiming for something more and more beautiful. Yeah. So I hope that responds to your reflection. Thank you. And so it's important also to say, yeah, and if you're not feeling, oh, these teachings, these practices, I'm not feeling they're working. I'm not feeling I'm getting deep and beautiful experiences. What's wrong with me? It's like, there's no guarantee with any of this. But, keep exploring, keep practicing, keep finding your own way. Maybe what's needed is just a steadiness of attention a little bit more. Yeah. And so kind of go for what we might call, kind of like core practices, support more mindfulness, support more attentiveness. As I said, I'm in favor of all kinds of meditations. I'm not like, well, if you're not doing this way, then it's not good enough. Of course it's not good enough because nothing yet is good enough. Yeah, we keep expanding. But there's also a sense, yeah, it is good enough. I'm good enough. This moment's good enough. Yeah. And that also supports the deepening that's needed in that time. And then what's next? What's next? And so beware the comparing mind, that wants to tell a story that says, I'm not good enough. Just beware of that. I have a feeling there might be something in the chat. Think it was just a very lovely comment, but not a question. So how are we feeling? Is there anything more at this time? Okay, so thank you for your support and your presence. If you would like, I'm happy to create some breakout rooms where we can meet in smaller groups. Maybe it'll be threes or something. We'll see how it whittles down. So if you've not got the time for that today, not got the inclination, they are really lovely. Then feel free to head on, and then I'll create the rooms. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.